Welcome back to All of It. I'm Nancy Giles, sitting in for Allison Stewart. Lolo Spencer is our next guest. She is a model, public speaker, and disability rights activist. In Lolo's latest venture, she stars, and boy does she star, in the critically acclaimed movie Give Me Liberty. Lolo is Tracy, a young Black woman with ALS who relies on a medical transport van to make it to her daily appointments. Set in Milwaukee, which is America's most segregated city, something I did not know, the streets are blocked off by protesters inflamed from race-related injustices. One delay leads to another and another, and to Tracy's dismay, Vic, the young medical transport driver who picks her up, has also made the rushed decision to use his van to shuttle a stranded group of boisterous senior citizens to a funeral. Give Me Liberty premiered at Sundance and Cannes, where it earned a 10-minute standing ovation. It will premiere at IFC this Friday. Let's take a quick listen to the trailer.
I'm home to report a situation. He's got a whole bunch of people on this van right now. It's insane.
I know, Steve.
Who knew this was gonna happen? I love how the accordion got off this van before I did.
Mike Tyson, my hero.
Mike Tyson, I love black people.
You like books?
I'll be there soon.
Lolo, welcome to All of It.
Thank you for having me.
I love that line. I love how the accordion gets...
Yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite lines for sure.
Oh my God, this film is just so multifaceted. It talks about family, helping people at the cost of your own benefit. There are racial tensions, there's love, there's so many different things going on.
Yeah.
How do you describe the movie to people?
You know, that's actually a great question because I even struggle with it because I don't want to like tell too much of what happens in the film. So I try to keep it very short and I just say like, oh, you know, the film is about a medical transport van driver who has pretty much like the craziest day of his life. And I just play one of the passengers on the van. I know I like sell it super short by doing that, but if I start talking about the senior citizens and then going to all these different places and then it starts to become too much. And then I'm like, I feel like I'll confuse people more, but it's a really great film. And I always tell people you got to go see it.
That's actually a really good description. It's kind of shortened to the point and you really feel like you're going to be on for a ride.
Yeah.
It feels like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. No, the whole film is a roller coaster ride. And even like shooting it was too. So like the energy, the feeling that you get from watching it is exactly like what was happening while the cameras were up.
I was so tense for Vic. I can't even tell you. It's like how many times did he have to say on the phone, I'll be 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a joke when I lived in Los Angeles because I never lived there before.
Yeah.
How people used to say, I'll be there in 20 minutes. That was like a big lie.
Yeah, it's always
you can't get
a lie.
Anywhere in 20 minutes.
No, you can never get anywhere in LA in 20 minutes. That's
poor
a fact.
Vic.
Yeah.
What about this film drew you in? What made you want to do this?
I mean, one, the fact that it was an opportunity to play a character with a disability and actually be a person with a disability and being able to represent the community in an authentic way. One of the biggest things is that Tracy's character, although she is a wheelchair user, the character was not developed to only talk about her disability and the sad parts and, the kind of what we call in the disability community, like inspiration porn, where it's like everything, any and everything that we do was just an inspiration. And Tracy's character was not that. Like, it showed the real humanity of who she is, what she represents. And I really, really was drawn to that. And so I was like, okay, well, if this is going to be my first role, then why not?
I got to tell you, that phrase inspiration porn, I was not familiar with it.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because, there is a kind of ghettoization of those kind of characters where everything is, you know, everything, it makes you feel good. Everything's positive. And your life, like anybody's, has its ups and downs and is real.
Exactly.
So what is inspiration porn and what don't you like about it?
Yeah. So in general, like inspiration porn is kind of like where people use the stories of people with disabilities or pretty much any minority group and uses their struggles as a reason to feel better about the privileged life that others may have. And so it's always this feeling of like, oh my gosh, you're so brave for going outside. And it's like, why, what's so brave about that? Oh, it's so brave. You're eating in a restaurant. Oh, you like, I've literally had people,
it's
like,
so brave that you're eating.
Yeah. Like, I've literally had people come up to me in real life, like, you know, at a party or something. Oh, you're so brave for coming out and having a good time. I'm like, what's so brave about that? So that's kind of like what that is. And it's something that a lot of people, especially within the disability community, aren't really fans of, is when our stories are told with that light above it.
Is that one of the reasons that it was, that you feel like it's really important for people to see this movie? What you just said, that kind of dynamic of you're not being inspirational just by living your life, you know, showing people that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the biggest thing, I think, amongst all the other storylines. But as far as with Tracy's character, that is definitely the biggest thing, is because it really shows the humanity of her. You know, when, like when everyone is in that van, you don't see, everyone's equal, like on an equal playing field visually. And so you don't see who's better than the other or who's got more of an ability than someone else. Everyone is equal playing field and everyone is going at it in that van. And so.
Yes, they are.
And so it just shows you that people with disabilities can hold their own. They can go to work. They can be progressive. They can be successful and, you know, make it in whatever circumstances that they may be in.
Right. You've said so much and I'm going in so many different directions. I want to just double back a little bit and talk about the film, which has, it almost felt like it was a documentary.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
You know, and I know there's a script. I know that it was written, but it had this improvisational feel. It really felt like you were watching these real people interact with each other. Like the line about, I love how the accordion gets up. Can you talk about that? What was the script like?
The script was definitely written well. It was definitely very conversational, which made it easy to be in those moments, especially as for Chris, who plays Vic, and I, to be first-time actors, where
he is a first-time actor.
Yeah,
as well.
He's a first-time actor as well. Yeah. He and
you
he's
are
incredible.
Putting shame to the acting industry. This is an outrage. Go on.
I love it. But it allowed us to improv. At times where maybe we were maybe struggling with some of the lines or some of the dialogue. But for the most part, you know, we definitely just really kept the energy, what the scene was about. That was always Kirill, the director.
Kirill Mikhanovsky.
Yes.
Who this is based on some experiences he actually had.
Yeah, exactly.
He emigrated to Milwaukee after the Soviet Union collapsed, and he was a medical transport driver.
Yep, exactly.
Did he talk about his experiences? Did you get a feeling for what he went through?
Yeah, absolutely. The great thing was, is when I got casted for the film, Kirill, Alice, who's our producer, and I, we spoke for like 2 years before we even went into production.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we had a lot of time to talk together and collaborate together and really understand the authentic storylines that they wanted to portray. And part of that was him telling the story of him coming to Milwaukee, being a medical transport van driver, getting to know the real people at the Eisenhower Center in Milwaukee, which is a place for people with disabilities, with learning and physical disabilities, to kind of just thrive and enjoy their lives there. And so he shared a bunch of stories. I shared a bunch of my stories. Alice shared her stories. And so it really, really helped when coming on set, finally, the chemistry, the relationships between all of us was just natural.
You really developed a rapport by then.
Oh, yeah.
Lola, how did they find you initially? How did they connect with you?
Yeah, so, I mean, Alice would tell the story better than I would, but from my
this is Alice
Austin. She's the writer and producer.
Got it.
Yes. So Alice Austin, from the stories that I've heard from her perspective, was that they were specifically looking for a young Black woman who was a wheelchair user.
Okay.
To play Tracy. They were not letting up on that. They were not gonna cast anyone who was able-bodied.
Right. This is an issue that's come up a lot.
Exactly.
I'm a union activist myself, and there have been a lot of complaints about what are called able-bodied actors playing disabled. Is disabled a word that you consider offensive, or
no,
different
not
people
for me.
Feel different ways?
Different people feel different ways. I'm not not offended by disabled, though.
So, but the idea of actors that are able being put in a wheelchair or pretending to be blind, that can really rankle some people.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Because there are actors that are in that situation who can actually do that.
Exactly, and who can really relate to the character in ways that no one else really would be able to. And so they were specifically looking for a young black girl in a wheelchair and was not going to let up until they found one.
Great.
And so she met a casting friend who knew my agent in LA. And so my agent was like, they're looking for a young black woman in a wheelchair. Are you want to audition? And I was like, of course.
Had you thought of acting or doing any of that before that? I know you're an activist and you've got your own YouTube channel and whatnot. Was that something you were thinking of going into?
You know, it was something I was always open to, but I'm a person that likes to have things just happen naturally. So if it was going to be in my cards, then I was going to let it come into play. But if it never crossed, you know, my life, then I wasn't gonna stress it either way.
What have you been in therapy? That's like where that's where I'm trying to get to. What you just said. How are you there already? How are you so zen?
You know what? My mom taught me about The Secret at 19, and then something about it just really resonated with me. And from there, I just started to keep learning about that. And then I started like reading books. And, you know, my favorites are The Alchemist and Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. The Alchemist is Paulo Coelho. But yeah, so those kind of books. And then I just started watching Supercell Sundays with Oprah. And then it just turned into a whole thing.
Now, I'm going to jump around again because your own life has been, you know, not an easy thing. At 14, you learned you had ALS.
Yeah.
And since then, you've done so many other things. You've got your YouTube channel. You've modeled for Tommy Hilfiger and some other brands. I'm going to actually play a little audio from a Tommy Hilfiger adaptive commercial that you starred in. Can we get that?
My advice is to remember that your disability is an honor, not a burden. It is the thing that makes you unique. It's the thing that makes you dope.
It's something that you don't have to hide.
Not everybody has the strength to fight with everyday things like getting dressed. It's about making everything easier for everybody.
I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah.
How'd you get there? Because for some people who didn't, you know, you were able-bodied.
Yeah.
And then ALS hit and suddenly your body's not cooperating with you.
Yeah.
How did you fight past that?
I mean, you know, at 14 when I was diagnosed with ALS, I was the first person with a disability in my family and my close friends group ever. So hearing that I had a diagnosis of ALS, I didn't know what it was. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal in a very 14-year-old mindset kind of way.
Sure. No, that's beautiful. So, you know, but youth can be, you know, that kind of blissful ignorance.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And when I started, you know, in the early days of the internet on AOL, and I was searching, you know, what is ALS? And I would search on my own, and I saw the symptoms and the statistics and all of those things. I had made the decision at that age, like, that wasn't going to be my life.
You weren't going to let it define you.
Yeah, I wasn't, like, I knew, I was like, wait, that can't happen because I still have to go to college, I still have to do this. Like, in my brain, I was already thinking that. I didn't understand the power of that kind of thinking, but I had told myself and made that decision at that time. And I think moving forward and as I got older in my life, because now that I'm 32, I kept that mindset, like, that's not going to be my life. Like, this is, in my head, these are all the things that I'm supposed to do. Right. So I got to do these things. And I feel like I don't have any other choice but to live a more positive life.
You're a pretty powerful example of, like, the mind and the will really, like, working to help you.
Yeah.
You do these incredible videos as part of the Sitting Pretty. Is that that's your series,
right? Yeah, that's
right?
My YouTube channel. Yeah.
From YouTube channel. You said to your fans in one of them that you used to stand up for photos, but there was a point in which you realized that you had to own up to your disability. And this is your quote. I define self-confidence as being comfortable with every aspect of who you are, flaws and all.
Yes.
How did you get to that shift in perspective?
Because I just got tired of just feeling bad or feeling insecure. Like, it was just starting to just
annoy. You did go through feeling bad.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, especially getting older when it's time to go to college and you're seeing everybody dating and you're seeing everybody going out and you're doing all of these things. And I did it all, but it was always this feeling of like, is it because my disability that I'm not having X, Y, and Z type of experiences? And then after, I just made a decision that I was like, I was tired of feeling that way. And I just, and when I started my YouTube channel, I made the decision like, okay, well, if I'm going to put my business out there, then what is there to be fearful of at this point? Like, people know I have a disability because I have a YouTube channel. So what is there to hide from anymore?
Right, right. It's so inspirational. And I might add, you went to Cannes.
Yeah, I did.
What was that like? Again, actor's dream of this. What was that like?
It was.
What did you wear?
Oh, girl, I wore this bomb black dress. It was V-cut, like, almost to my belly button, but it was then the black sheer covered my chest all the way up to my neck, like a turtleneck style.
Stop it.
With sheer sleeves. Oh, it was a gown. It was a look. And shout out to Stephanie Thomas. She's a disability fashion stylist. She styles me for everything. And she found that dress for me, and it was absolutely perfect.
Lola Spencer, you're the bomb.
Yeah.
Give Me Liberty premieres Friday at IFC. Watch Lolo's YouTube channel, Sitting Pretty, and that's our show. You
awesome.
Were wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.